Father God, we thank you that as we gather together this morning, there are so many things to be thankful for. We can look to you and see how you've provided for each and every one of us. And if we struggle to realise that and struggle to see that, we thank you, Lord, that that doesn't mean that you're not faithful or you're not loving, that you're still there. You're still all these things to us. And we pray that you would draw close to us this morning as we seek to hear your voice, that as we read your word and as we hear what you have to say, that you'd speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that what we hear would be words from you to encourage us and enable us to continue to walk with you. For we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are continuing on in our journey through the book of Hebrews. We're in the middle of Hebrews chapter 3, and just unmuting David Newton, because David is going to read Hebrews 3 verses 7 to 19 to us this morning.
So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 days saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief.
Thank you, David. I'm just going to unmute everyone for a moment. We have a challenge before the talk. The challenge today is to create some feet. Okay. Now, these can be footprints or actual 3D feet shape. And on your feet or your footprints, you can either write what you wrote at the beginning about God that you're thankful for, or one of the promises of God that you hold on to when things are difficult. So, is that quite clear? Making some feet or footprints, and writing on a promise or something that you're thankful for that you hang on to about God when things are difficult. So, grab your tools, your moulding clay, your hammer and your chisel, your nuts and bolts, or just a bit of paper. I'm now going to mute you all. There we go. So get creating. Well, I don't know about you, but when we began the lockdown, those many weeks ago, we were very enthusiastic in our house. We were up and ready to do Joe Wicks. Don't know whether anyone else did Joe Wicks or still does. Maybe you do. We don't anymore. We were focused. We were ready to go. So at 9 o'clock, we put on YouTube and we got Joe Wicks and we exercised together in the lounge. We moved the sofa back and we were ready at 9:30, had a bit of a snack, sat down, got our pens and pencils to start maths or English. We had a whole morning of homeschooling interspersed with sports and topic and everything like that. It was like mad, crazy. But then as the weeks went by, you know, we would put Joe Wicks on. The boys would sit down and I'd be doing the exercise going, come on, boys, join in. No, Mum, no, Mum. And as the weeks carried on, then, you know, the boys would go out with Simon and I'd be doing Joe Wicks on my own. And then a bit later, it'd be like, should we just put 5 minutes of Joe Wicks on? Or shall we just run around the garden once? And now, you know, we saunter into the dining room, we grab a pencil and a pen, we look for the English and the maths books, and we have a bit of homeschooling in the morning. I hope none of the teachers tune into this. And then we do other things later on. We were very in enthusiastic at first, but as time went on, our enthusiasm has dipped. Some days, don't get me wrong, we're up and ready. But other days, we're struggling to find a pencil and a ruler to get anything done. And, you know, this is the way of most things, isn't it? I'm sure it's not just me. Often when something is new and exciting, we set off with great enthusiasm. Everything seems worthy and fulfilling, and we're right into it, and we're doing whatever we can. But then there comes a point when actually it's no longer exciting. Things are harder, our feelings vary, and sometimes it's all we can do to carry on or to get dressed. It's nothing new. It happens with most things that we start and most things that we become part of. And it also happened here in the Bible as well, most notably and most memorably with the people of God in the Old Testament. People who, of course, had been slaves in Egypt, people who had known captivity and hardship and persecution, but people who had ultimately known the faithfulness of God, his rescue under the leadership of Moses and his guidance by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and his destruction of their enemies as they crossed the Red Sea and then it came crashing down onto the Egyptians. They knew God's faithfulness and they knew his strength. And so when they were freed from Egypt, as told in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, they set off with great enthusiasm into the wilderness, following Moses, their great leader, the one who the reader of the letters to the Hebrews so respected and honoured. But as we read in Exodus chapter 16, it didn't take long for this great enthusiasm to disappear, only to be replaced by grumbling and moaning, as the Israelites bemoaned the fact that now they were struggling in the wilderness instead of eating meat in the land of Pharaoh. And so begins this cycle of 40 years in the wilderness, where Israel moan about their situation. And Moses goes to God and pleads for the people, and God then provides what they need to sustain them. It's a cycle that went on way past the wilderness years throughout the history of the people of God, but it's one that is particularly relevant here in this passage. It's one that the writer of the Hebrews brings up as an illustration today in the passage that David read. Because it seems that just as Israel started off following God with great enthusiasm into the wilderness all those years ago, so too did these new Christians who first read the letter of Hebrews. They began their walk with Jesus excited and renewed and full of energy until, as we have mentioned before, when we've looked through this letter, things became harder. The enthusiasm waned, their new Christian lives were challenged. And the desire to look back to what they had before, their Jewish tradition, their rituals and laws, their set pattern for life, became very tempting indeed. And although there's no evidence that the people who the letter to the Hebrews was written to began to grumble and moan like the Israelites did, the writer clearly seeks to draw a comparison between the readers of this letter and the Israelites who had gone before. That now, after a good start and clear enthusiasm, after beginning strongly in their walk with Jesus, they have entered what you might call a time of wilderness, a time of wandering, a time that will test their faith in every way. And so the writer begins this passage in Hebrews, after comparing the two great figures of the faith, Moses and Jesus, by warning the Hebrews to keep going and not to make the mistakes of their ancestors in the wilderness. And he does this by, first of all, quoting Psalm 95, the psalm that we had at the beginning of the service, a psalm that starts with praise and ends with a warning. And the part that the author focuses on and expands on throughout this passage is the warning. As he quotes, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Or if you like, the author says, today, do not respond to these times of testing as your ancestors did. Do not harden your hearts because things are difficult. Do not give up because life seems like a wilderness. Do not keep looking for something better than you have right now, because God is here. In your wilderness, here to be trusted. So instead of turning away, listen to the promises of God. Listen to his voice throughout the years. Remember what Jesus has done for you. And most of all, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Because, says the author, it wasn't those who didn't know God who lost their way in the wilderness. It wasn't people who hadn't experienced God's provision and protection. It wasn't those who knew nothing about the promises of Almighty God himself. It was the children of God. Who were they who heard and rebelled, he says? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest? You see, the author of the Hebrews is using the psalm and the history of Israel as a warning to the readers generations later, taking what the Israelites did and subsequently what they lost as a challenge to the people of his day. Do you know another thing that I've done during this time where we've not been able to get out very often is I've done a bit more running. I periodically run every now and again through my life, and then I just give up for a bit. Normally when it becomes cold and raining, but you know, I've started to run and the weather's been nice, so I've done it, you know, every now and again. And on Friday I went for a run and I thought, this is going to be good, it's going to be a good run, it's a nice day and I can feel it's going to work out great. And you know, I'd just like to clarify that when I run, it's not a very pleasant experience for anyone. You know, sometimes you see these people running and they look just glamorous and they're just trotting along and you're thinking, wow, I'm just really unpleasant. You know, there's lots of spittle and nose blowing and redness and sweating. It's just not, it's not good. And Friday was particularly difficult. Even though I set off thinking it's going to be brilliant, I found myself, you know, dribbling and slowing down and tripping up weeds. And my focus was all over the place. And it took all I had on the way back to focus from running from one lamppost to the next. I can make it, I can make it. I thought because it was really difficult that it was going to be a really good run. I thought when I got home, because I was feeling so awful, that I'd have run really fast and it would all have been worthwhile. But even worse, when I got home and I looked at my phone, I hadn't done as good as I normally did. There were no rewards for the hard work and the nose blowing and the redness and the sweating. And you know, in a similar way, isn't that the reality of walking with God every day? That although we might be working really hard just to keep going, there are often no immediate rewards or congratulations for our effort, even though it feels tough at times. We're just living as a Christian. This is what it's like. And yet, if we don't watch out, it can be really easy for us to lose focus. It can be really easy for us to begin to wander all over the place, to grumble and moan and feel God has left us, led us into a wilderness. Which is why the author to the Hebrews is so keen to urge his readers to keep going, to urge his readers not to make the mistakes of their ancestors who, because of their grumbling and moaning, because of their failure to trust and instead look for something better, they eventually lost the hope for which they were living. And so the author makes it clear that his readers should encourage one another, because today God is here and he can do just as much in this wilderness as he can do in the promised land. So listen to his promise, encourage one another and keep going during this time, says the letter, because God, as you know from your history, is a God who can be trusted no matter what is put in front of you at this time. And you know, when we read this passage today, if we can pick our way through the Old Testament quotes and the somewhat confusing language at times, the message for us is just as relevant as it was for the readers who first heard it. Because today we live in very strange times. And when we first went into lockdown, we may have had, strangely, a sense of purpose. We were doing this for a reason. And so we set off with great enthusiasm. We had our routines and we did things differently and we trusted God because everything else was disappearing that we knew and we put our trust in before. But as time has gone on and as we've got used to our situation, as guidelines are announced and then rapidly changed and as the earth moves beneath us and we're not really sure what to grab onto, it can be so easy to begin to wander around in this wilderness and in our wanderings to begin to struggle. To struggle to focus on God as we did before, to struggle to remember the promises that God has made to us, to struggle to live with purpose and hope. It can be really hard to remember that the history of Israel is our history too, and that the house we're part of is still growing and changing and standing firm. Until if we're not careful, we begin to relive the mistakes of those who have gone before. Which is why it's so important that we take this message today for ourselves, that today we listen to the voice of God, who calls us again and again and again back to himself, and that today we remind ourselves of all that Jesus has done, of the history, the rich and wonderful history from which we live our lives. And that as long as it is called today, we seek to encourage one another in our wilderness walk. Not only by texting or calling or messaging or having doorstep conversations and distance walks or joining Zoom meetings, which are all brilliant, but also by praying for each other. Because walking with God every day is hard work. There is much spitting and blowing of noses and sweating and red faces. And, you know, we don't get many short-term rewards for our efforts. So we need that encouragement to stay focused and keep going. There's a great story about the great Houdini, who on March the 10th, 1904, was challenged to a contest by the Illustrated Mirror of London. The contest was for him to escape from handcuffs with 6 locks on each cuff and 9 tumblers on each lock. I'm not really sure what that means, but it sounds really hard. And it certainly was. And so in London Hippodrome, where thousands were gathered, Houdini was locked up in these handcuffs and put inside a box. After 20 minutes of people watching this box and wondering what is going on, Houdini popped up out of the box, smiling. People were cheering and going bananas and going wild. And then they realised he was still handcuffed. And he'd just come up to ask for more light. So they put more light on. He went down into the box again. 15 minutes later, Houdini popped up again. Everyone cheered, went crazy. And then they realised that he was still handcuffed. He just popped up to flex his knees. Went back down into the box. 20 minutes later, he popped up again. People were cheering, going crazy. He was still handcuffed. He got a little knife into his mouth and he cut off some of his clothes because he was so hot, and he went down into the box again. 10 minutes went by and suddenly Houdini popped up, a free man holding the handcuffs aloft. Later, a reporter asked Houdini why he kept popping up during his escape when he was not actually free. To which Houdini replied that he needed to hear the encouragement of the crowd so that he could keep going to escape. And you know, today, many of us may struggle, some of us in solitude as we seek to follow God. We don't have our normal routines to help us, but we can remember God's faithfulness. We can listen to his promises. We can recall the sacrifice of Jesus and his love for us. And we can also encourage each other as long as it is called today, so that we can keep going towards the hope that God has given us. So let's pause to pray together this morning. Father, we thank you that you provide us with all that we need to follow you, that you call us to yourself, but then you don't leave us to struggle on our own. You fill us with your Holy Spirit, empowering us to live our lives for you. And yet, Lord, it is still a struggle. There are so many things that catch our attention and so many things that happen to us that make life so difficult and even more difficult to keep our eyes on you. Lord, in this time when things are so different and yet there's also some form of normality seeking to return, when the earth is moving, when things are changing rapidly once more, we pray you'd help us to remember your promises, to remember your truths, to remember who you are and all that you have given us. But also, Lord, we ask that you would prompt us to encourage each other, to go out of our way, to give encouragement in our walk so that we can keep going and keep focused. And together we can move towards you. For we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've just unmuted you all. We're going to share communion together in a moment. I did just wonder first, though, what people had done with feet, footprints. Have we got any, or do you need more time? There are some coming up. Oh, lots of footprints. Oh, good drawings too.
I can't see it, can you?
So as we go from here, probably into our breakout groups, may God walk with us. May he bless us and keep us. And may we know, wherever we are on our journey with him, that he is close by, surrounding us and leading us. Amen.